further. So again, we are on page 27. Simon Ches Siv Vav. So again, we are discussing the halachas of tzitzis and what bracha do you make? Lisa say bit tzitzis, Lisa say bat tzitzis. And then yesterday and the day before, we discussed the halacha. Again, it's over here, but it's a very important concept, whether one person could make a bracha for another person. And again, the interesting case is if the person who is making the bracha is not fulfilling the mitzvah at that time. Or he did it already, or maybe he'll do it later, despite the Tkiyas Shofar. So again, could he make a bracha for someone else? And let's tighten that up a little more. And also, what happens if the person wants to be yotze the bracha, the second person or third person, whatever it may be, really can make the bracha themselves. They have the ability to do it. So if the person is unable, they're not a baki, as we call it, to make the bracha, so certainly someone can make the bracha for them, because kol yisrael reivim zeh lazeh. The question would be, when those two scenarios come together, meaning that Reuven, who's making the bracha, is not fulfilling the mitzvah now, and Shimon and Levi Yehuda or whatever, who are being yotza with the bracha, they really can make the bracha themselves. So in that case, could Reuven make the bracha for them? That's the question. So again, here we go. So that's what we discussed yesterday. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, good. So let's go. Oh yeah, and the very last thing we discussed yesterday, something very important, and that is this is all by brachas, like a berachas mitzvah or so on and so forth, but a bracha shechianu. Bracha shechianu, everyone agrees that each person has to make the bracha for themselves, because each person has to give thanks. Now again, when it comes along with a kiddush or a mitzvah, that's different. But let's say we do make a shechianu for other people, right? When it's attached to kiddush, or but here we're talking about, let's say it's a new garment or something like that. You bought a bunch of people bought new cars, or, something like that. So each person has to make their own shechianu. Now again, in the case of a car, it might be a tova meitiv, but that's a separate issue. Now there's one more step that we have to do, and that is the Mishnah Berurah Tesvav. So the Mechaber ended this halacha. Again, if they want, the Mechaber said, one person can make the bracha for everyone, and then the first words on page 27, V'yanu Amen, and they should answer Amen. Again, Reuven is, whatever the scenario is, Reuven's making a bracha for Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. And so, again, let's say a case where he is being yotze to the bracha, and we want Ravam Hadras Melech. So he's making the bracha. So, but they're going to be yotze with the bracha. So therefore, they should answer Amen, the Mechaber says. Amen means you're affirming, you're agreeing with the bracha, right? So the Mishnah Berurah says, that after Balav Haki Tzarech La'anos Amen Acher Kol Bracha, I think somebody brought this up yesterday, pardon me, I don't remember whom, that even though, and I mentioned this yesterday, or the day before, so you have to answer Amen to any bracha, you're obligated, Tzarech La'anos Amen Acher Kol Bracha. In other words, even if you're not being yotza with a bracha, but still, whenever you hear someone making a bracha, again, assuming, like I said, person's not an apikoros, which is hard to find today. But let's say, anyone who's not that, someone makes a bracha, you have to answer Amen. I remember with a reshiva, on one of his shmuzim, he started telling a story. I forgot who it was. Somebody who went to someone, and I forgot who it was. Ramam Ipano, I forgot who. And to learn Kviyas D'Yarcha, and it was very, it sticks out in my mind because the Rishiva used Zechat Zalik Baruch Ha didn't say stories usually in a shmooze. You know, he said a chazal, and, you know. But he told a story, and the person went to learn by this other person, and he noticed that after a few days, the person was like kind of cold to them, to him. So they kept on learning, but it was like his attitude was clearly cold to the other person. So when he was about to leave, the teacher, so to speak, said, did you notice I've been cold to you? He said, yes, of course I noticed that. He said, let me tell you why. So he said, why? So he said, because that day I made a bracha and you didn't answer amen. So min hashamayim, you deserved punishment. So therefore I acted to you that way as a punishment for the avera that you did not answering amen. So I remember the Rishiva telling that story. I don't remember who the particulars were, but I remember it made an impact upon me about, you know, the Rishiva tells a story in the middle of in a shmooze, so that's kind of impactful. So that really got the lesson across about how important it is to answer amen to a bracha. Yeah.
If you're in the middle of something, does that make a difference?
Well, yeah, it depends on what you're in the middle of. Like if you're in the middle of Shemone Esrei, the middle of Shema.
Just something else.
Depends what the something else is. Like learning, you don't have to interrupt, or else you know, like, might be answering all the time amen. You don't have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham if you're learning. Right, this is all because of Bittul Torah. But let's say, I don't know, let's say you're flying a kite, you should answer amen. I don't know.
Is it something that requires thinking or mental focus?
I don't know. And it will break your focus, you mean? I don't know then if you're obligated to. Like you're working, if you're working for somebody else, I don't know if you're obligated to, because then you're taking away from their time. That's a different issue. I'm saying in general, you know, we hear brachas pretty often. We should answer, remember to answer amen. Now see, that's a shtickle problem, because a lot of times when people make brachas, you don't hear them. You just barely see their lips move and they're drinking something. So if you don't hear it, you know. But see, that's another idea of somebody making a bracha that is somewhat audible, so that other people can answer amen. It's a mitzvah for them.
And the opposite, not to obligate somebody.
Yeah, but again, so you have to use a seichel. But in most cases, people get a mitzvah for answering amen.
Does one have to hear the entire bracha to say?
Yeah, we'll get to that later. You have to at least hear the name of Hashem and know what the bracha is. Yeah, we'll get to that later, but later. So you have to answer, even though you have to answer amen anyways, so but still, again, refocusing in this case where you're being yotze mikomakom bezu. In this case, shirosa latzeis ba achiyav yotze. The obligation is greater in this case because you're being yotze. So again, you're obligated to answer amen for any bracha you hear, but here I don't know what type of terminology you want to use, but over here. When you're being yotze with the bracha, there's a super bigger obligation. Shemara bezeh, because you show with this by answering amen, but polo, actively. Shumachavin lases ba, that you have intent or you have in mind to be yotze with this bracha by answering amen to the other person's bracha, person's making whatever. So when I answer amen, let's say kiddush. When I answer amen, that shows I'm going to be yotze. Now, again, so that leads to the question, but how about if I don't answer amen? Again, okay, I'm obligated to answer. But I'm again, you can imagine if somebody being yotze with kiddush, Reuven's making kiddush for a bunch of people. They answer amen. One person doesn't answer amen. Was he yotze? Or does he have to make his own kiddush? Now, again, according to what the Chofetz Chaim just said, the svara that the Chofetz Chaim just said, that you're showing by answering amen that you're being yotze with the bracha, so then it logically makes sense that if you didn't answer amen for whatever reason, let's say the kiddush or kiyas shofar, I don't know, whatever, where somebody's making the bracha for you, it would seem, according to this, that you would not be yotze if you didn't answer amen. Chofetz Chaim says, Mihu, however, right, however, Mihu always amends what was previously said. Bedieved, afilu lo ano amen yotza. Bedieved, Even if you did not answer Amen, you're a Yotze, the Chofetz Chaim says. Now, there's a Rabbi Akiva Eger. The Rabbi Akiva Eger says that if you're being motzi someone else because you're because of arvus, in other words, I'm making a bracha for somebody else, even though I'm not being yotze, right? I'm not being yotze. I'm just making it because I don't know. There's a bunch of people who don't know how to make a bracha. You know, a bunch of people are becoming frum. They don't know how to make a bracha, so I'm being. But I'm not being yotze myself. I'm just making the bracha for them, which I'm allowed to do. We learned a couple days ago. So in that case, the Rabbi Akiva Eger holds that the person has to answer Amen. And if he does not answer Amen, Rabbi Akiva Eger holds that then he's not yotze. But it seems like the Mishnah Berurah is not going that way. And he holds, the Mishnah Berurah holds that under whatever circumstances, under all circumstances, I should say, even if a person did not answer Amen, no matter what the case is, the person listening, as long as they have intent to be Yotze, so then they're Yotze the bracha, as long as they had that in mind. And of course, the person making the bracha had them in mind to be Yotze with the bracha. Okay, let's go on to Vav. Very interesting halacha. Al talis katan, yachal levarach li sa'atev, on a talis katan, right, a little, what we call tzitzis, right, that we wear under our garment. Some people, of course, wear it over their garment, but we our minhag is to wear under the garment. I think we discussed that before. Afal pi she'ino misa'atev elosho, even though you just wear it, we don't wrap ourselves in it, even though we discussed that previously. Still, the Machaber says, is holding, Al Tals Katan, I might skip some words. Yachal Varch Lis Atef, Afal Pishen of Mis Atef, El Lovshop. Even though you're not wrapping yourself in it, still you can make the Brach Lis Atef. Even though you are not wrapping yourself in it. So the Mishnah Berurah says, according to this, what's the pshat? That's the nusach bracha. That's the bracha that Chazal made. Okay, you're not wrapping yourself in, but if you're wearing tzitzis, so even if you don't happen to be wrapping yourself, enveloping yourself in the tzitzis, still you can make the bracha li'satev. The Ramah says, some say, some say that no. That on a talis katan, if should make the bracha al mitzvah tzitzis, not lis atef, because you're not doing an ituf on a little tzitzis, so to speak. V'chein nogim ve'ein l'shanos, and the Ramah finishes it up by saying that that is the minhag amongst Ashkenazim. Again, I don't know about Sephardim, and you shouldn't deviate from that. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's an artaus katan, which it's not practical to wrap yourself in. But if, as we said before in Sif Gimel, you do that procedure of wrapping yourself in a talis katan, so then the Mishnah Berurah says yachal lechachila levarech lisatef. So then lechachila you can make a lisatef. Make a lisatef in lachachila if you do that. And then he says, "B'di'avad im berach b'chol talis katan lisatef or berach al talis gadol al mitzvah sitzis yatsa." If you mix them up, right? If you made a lisatef on a talis katan, or you made an al mitzvah on a talis, so then you're yotze. The Chofetz Chaim says, "Okay, you shouldn't mix them up, but b'di'avad you're yotze."
Later, actually go through the procedure of
Lisa Tate. Right, that's what we said before. Yeah, that was a story. I asked the Rashiv about that. Now, again, I think we mentioned this before that if you're going to wear both, in other words, like a lot of married people, so they put on the talis katan in the morning, and maybe they're doing a bunch of things, maybe they're learning or davening, saying tilim before, come to slichus, and there's a little while. And then after that while, after that gap, you're going to put on a talis gadol. So then you don't make a bracha on the talis katan, because you'll just be yotze both by making the bracha on the talis gadol lis atef. And that is the better way to go. Now the Mishnah Berurah then goes on with a sort of lengthy discussion, not lengthy, but a long discussion as far as Mishnah Berurahs go, about the size. You have to be careful if you're making a bracha on the tzitzis to make sure that the if it's talis katan, to make sure that it is the right size, and the hole which your neck goes through does not count. So again, you have to be careful, again, with other halakhs. We talked about has to be mostly open on the sides. There was a thing I remember when I was a kid, that I think they still make them. It's T-shirt tzitzis. So I remember the first ones that came out, I remember a friend of mine got them, and they had just a little slit. It was like a T-shirt. They had a little slit, and they had the tzitzis on it. So somebody saw it and said, they're puzzled, because you got to... It's not, it has to be mostly open. So what the guy did, he was an earnest guy, but he didn't know the halakha. So he went home and he cut them open. So that's a problem, because there has to be four corners before you put the tzitzis on. Taso lo minaso. So I felt bad for the guy, like no matter what, you know, he was trying to... And then once you open it, it's not, you know, I don't know. It's not, he said it's not worth it. And so again... the Mishnah Berurah again emphasizes here in Osud Zion that there should be the requisite size. And first he says 3/4 of an amma in front or in back. Again, the neck does not, the open neck doesn't count. But then he comes out, it should be an amma in front and an amma in back. So again, you see different sizes. Usually they say it should be 18 inches in front, 18 inches in back. According to the Chazon Ish, I do believe it's 24 inches in front and in back. So a lot of people try to do the Chazon Ish's share because, again, you know, mitzvah tzitzis.
Is that length and width?
No, just length. Yeah, length and it says front and back. Yeah, I don't know about the
square amma.
Yeah, square. It's supposed to be an amma square. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I think, let's just start. We have very little time left. But, so again, that's very important. So Zion, also very interesting in Halakha. Tzarech lahafri chutei hatzitzis hamitzah. You're supposed to separate the tzitzis one from another. Now again, this is going to be a very interesting discussion. We'll have to do it after Yom Tov, after Yom Kippur. But, Habalayim Lotova. A lot of times you feed, and I mean, that's, I guess, just the nature of tzitzis, they get tangled. They get tangled. Now, again, it could be people wash them and then, you know, don't take necessary precautions. But again, even without that, they just get tangled. So here, the Machaber says, you have to separate them. So again, we're going to have a whole discussion with Sefer Halacha. The Malbim is going to talk about this. Some stuff from the Malbim. So, but in Meretz Hashem, we're going to have to wait to do that. Meretz Hashem after Yom Kippur, and Meretz Hashem after Shabbos. So, in Meretz Hashem after those, Meretz Hashem on Sunday, right? Got one day. Meretz Hashem will pick up with Bli Nether with Mishnah Berurah, talking about tangled tzitzis. Okay, Ashkoch, everyone, Mincha is in 10 minutes. Everyone should have a Gemara Ksiva Tova and a very easy and inspiring, meaningful fast. Yashikok, everyone.